praises. I was listening to Rogelio sharing and Cindy sharing just now. I don't know how you feel. I feel very touched, very moved, just to see our God so big and great. He created this tremendous universe. Yet, He cared for you and me, how we feel. Amen? Rogelio. I believe he, maybe Friday night, he was looking forward to this fish trip. What kind of morning? Diarrhea. What kind of discouragement can be? And Cindy cared for her daughter, you know. Marlene and I would care for JJ. I know your struggle, you know, when they grow up, you know. We have to let go on one hand, on the other hand, very hard to let go. But I just want to encourage all of you, many times, that's our Father's heart too. You know? When God look at you and look at me, He cares for you. He doesn't want you to go the wrong way, but He give you free will. Right? Sometimes we still chose the wrong way. We still went to the wrong path. He loves us. This morning I'd like to share with you about building kingdom culture. You know, we know culture is an expression of certain people groups, value and lifestyle. Culture is an expression of lifestyle. What is important to you? This morning I'd like to share about faith that overcomes all afflictions. I believe this message is hard to preach. This message is something, the reality of life. Maybe some of you facing much challenge and difficulty lately, or maybe in the last few months, few years. But I hope this message will encourage you and enable you to overcome. God wants us to be an overcomer. Amen? A champion. But life is unpredictable, right? We don't know what the next will be. We don't know what will be. And sometimes make us anxious. Make me anxious. I mean, don't use us. Okay, I'd like to start with the first point is the ultimate purpose of life. What is the ultimate purpose of life? What is your answer? To some people, maybe to live a comfortable life, to retire at age 50, have plenty of money, can enjoy life, right? Practically speaking, some people may be alive with no problem. Alive, good health, good family. Some people are ambitious, have big name, you know, great fortune. Leave a great legacy. However, when we go to the Bible, we look at, study the Word, we'll be a little bit surprised. What is the ultimate purpose of life? I feel this is very important to me, important to you. Some people say, why do you ask this unnecessary questions? I have no choice. I've already been here. The purpose of life is just breathe in and breathe out. No, it's more than that. In Romans 8, verse 28 to 30. It kind of surprised us. The ultimate purpose of life is for one to be confirmed unto the image of Jesus Christ. How about let's read together? Okay, let's. And we know that in all things God worked for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We use this a lot. When sometimes a bad thing happened to us, to a believer, you know, maybe you got a ticket, you got a sick, you got a diarrhea before you... fishing trip. Then we comfort people and say, all things work together for good. You know, it's okay, brother. Maybe not this time, maybe next time. But when you look at this scripture carefully, look at in the context of the scripture, does that really mean some bad thing happened to us, we comfort, all things work together for good, you know? It's okay. Does that scripture really mean that? Not really. That's not what it means. You say here, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. And then we thought, oh, if I love the Lord, it will work out. And then the scripture in the following verse defined it. Who are those who love Him who have been called according to His purpose? Do you know you are here today? You are a believer because God called you. And then, who are those people being called? He defined in the previous verses 29-30. It says, God predestined to choose them. Call them by setting them apart. Then justify them as the righteousness through Jesus' redemptive works. Finally, He make them glorify. God chose you and me, set apart. And God justify you to be righteous. Righteous people, and God glorify you. I just want to ask you, how can God glorify us? How can a Christian be glorified? Answer is the verse 29, to be conformed to the image of His Son. When you and I become Christ-like, the glory of God manifests spontaneously. Amen? Amen? When we start to love one another, when we start to have a joy even in midst of suffering, when we start really believing God, even face all kinds of affliction, the Christ-like character revealed through us, right? Just now, two of you share about God's faithfulness, God's love for you. So you increase your faith in Christ. Increase your faith to start to imitate Him, to reflect His image. Amen? And then when we start to live out that, the glory of God comes through us, right? God being glorified, and we have the glory of God. So we can see the first, in ultimately, in all things, God works for the good for one purpose. When we commit to conform into the image of likeness. Maybe you wonder, what does conforming into the image of Jesus Christ mean and imply? It's a journey of faith, right? Rogelio and Cindy, even whatever you shared just now, that is a process of conforming into the image of Christ. How about you guys? What have you experienced Christ this past week? Every experience in the journey is help you to conform to Jesus Christ. Is that right? Is that right? How much have you experienced Him in? I want to ask Scott. When you caught that large fish, what was your initial response? Yesterday, you caught a large fish. He said, you got the biggest one. By the way, how much pounds? Wow. How was your initial response? I just wonder.
Actually, can I answer a different question?
Okay.
What's interesting about the trip for me is that I actually didn't want to go.
Now the real.
The story is that Greg and you guys know Greg. 3 months ago, he wanted this to be an outing to invite other men, Christ followers, and to encourage them. And he turned to me to kind of arrange the whole thing. So I reserved a boat for 25 people, and then we had only 5. So then I canceled the reservation down to like 10. And then leading up to this trip, the truth is, I kept telling myself, this is my last time I'm going fishing outside the Yellow Gates. Woke up at 3:30 in the morning. We didn't get back till 6.
So tired.
Very tired. He struggled with that.
Good.
But I kept telling myself this is the last time. I felt that God telling me before the trip, go and try to bless the other men when they get on the boat. Don't go out and try to catch a lot of fish, because that doesn't mean much. But just have some good fellowship. So I invited a friend to come. He had a great time. And so that's what made it special. Not the it was the third time.
You know, I appreciate, I just hope this is not just a preaching, you know, we just interact to learn together. Just based upon, you know, Scott, thank you for illustration. Just Scott sharing, you know, I think in the process of life, you know, I talk about what does conforming into the image of Jesus Christ mean and imply. In our life, we plan a lot. We think about this, we want that. But sometimes the Lord lead you in the way you never imagined. When Scott don't focus on the fish, he even said this is the last one. I try to interpret for the thing. Somehow God give you one of the biggest fish because you yield to him. I feel that's the process. That's the meaning of conform to the image of Jesus Christ. Because the later on we will talk about more in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, Apostle Paul's experience is very supernatural. It's paradoxical. You know, it looks very bad, but it's very positive. So I appreciate that. And in the Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it tells us, you know, the conforming into the image of Jesus Christ is a journey. I want to say, first of all, it's a journey. It's a pilgrim progress. Is a Christian daily walk. In the theological term, it's called sanctification. It's a transformation happen every time things. Amen? You went a fishing trip, but you focus on the Lord. The Lord work on you. There's some transformation happening. I believe many of you had the barbecue or outing, watch the fireworks, but when you focus on the Lord, let the Lord be the center. There's a lot of things happen. And a good thing happened inside us. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 and the 8 to 9, let's read that together. Since then you have been, how about let's read together. Since then, on things about where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as this, anger, rage, lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with this practice and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, you know, we talk about this process of the conforming to image of Jesus Christ. Apostle invites us, first we set our reason and emotion on the thing above. It doesn't mean we don't do earthly things, but we focus on the things about. Actually, the things about here refer to Jesus. Your mind and the emotion. You set on him. That's important. Also, he talked about to get rid of those negative, right? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. But put on the new self, Christ-like character. So implication of conforming into the image of Jesus Christ as we become more and more Christ-like as the days passing by. So this is the ultimate purpose of life. If this is our faith and conviction, this is the purpose of life, then we have the second result, that we can overcome all afflictions. Now I'd like to invite you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Secure, but not abandoned. struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Okay? Right now we see here, we see there's a faith that overcomes all afflictions. In this scripture, first we see there's a treasure in jars of clay. The apostles say here, he referred to our this human body. We are like a jars of clay. We are weak, fragile, easy to be hurt, easy to be distracted, easy that we cannot sleep, right? Things bother us. Very weak when we contrast with God. We are weak. But Apostle Paul say here, despite our weakness, despite our weak nature, like jars of clay, there's a treasure in us. Who and what is that treasure? It's Jesus. The presence of Jesus in you. So though we are weak vessels, Christ's presence make a big difference in us. He make us super strong and powerful. Amen? Did you have that experience? Because Jesus' presence in your life make you strong. Christina, share with me, right? You face a lot of challenge in your work. Did you sense the Christ's presence make difference? How do we sense Christ's presence? More energy, right? What else? Peace. What else? Endurance. You can stand the joy. You can stand the heat, right? So I like you all join me to focus on this. We have a treasure in jars of clay. Despite the situation, Jesus is in you. You receive Jesus, Savior and the Lord. He is with you. Then we see here, Apostle Paul experienced a paradoxical thing. Also can be yours and my experience. He say, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. How can that be? We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. If we are surrounded, hard-pressed by all the problems, we will be collapsed. But we are not. Why? Because this treasure in us, Apostle Paul tried to share. You know, Apostle Paul had a tough life. He accomplished a lot. He built so many churches. He went to different places. Wherever he went, he changed the places. But he was hard-pressed. Think about the east, west, south, north. Four sides, right? You're hard-pressed, surrounded by the problems. But still one side. David, still one side. To the sky. And God come to rescue us from that, right? Hard press, all the problems around us, but they're one side still open. Amen? It's natural, should be crushed, but supernatural, he wasn't. And then say here, perplexed, but not in despair. Why I love the Lord so much and not become like this, being persecuted, being perplexed. We don't understand. But not despair. The Lord will start to speak to you. I'm with you. Persecute but not abandon. Talk about persecution we are facing. Even the Western world, even the believer in America right now, because where you stand according to the Bible. Amen? You stand according to the Bible about institutional marriage, you're going to face the persecution. You already face. But being persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. So Apostle Paul experienced this natural and the supernatural. We also can experience this in the midst of all the difficulty, afflictions. You still have peace, you still have joy, you still have a hope. How can Paul experience such a paradoxical scene? Because there was the presence of Jesus in his life, which he stayed. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all surpassing power is from God and not from us. That's where the Holy Spirit be with you, right? That's where the Holy Spirit bring the power to you and give you the idea, give you the perspective how to overcome. This treasure empowers us to overcome. First, it's the presence of this treasure. I will mention about that. The presence of Jesus is very important. In John chapter 15, Jesus is the vine, right? How many of you visit Napa, wine country, or Sonoma? Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. But important is we need to connect with him. Through his word, through prayer, through spirit, we connect with him. So his spiritual nutrient, living water, his energy will come through us, come into us. Amen? Strengthen your inner person. If you are facing challenge right now, you're facing affliction right now, you need to listen to this very carefully. You need to abide in him. He abides in you. Connection is the presence of this treasure will empower you to overcome. Secondly, is your faith in this treasure. Your faith in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus is the beginning of faith. Jesus, the one, will complete yours and my faith. Think about what is the greatest challenge you face right now. Think about the greatest challenge you face right now. How can you overcome that? Isn't the presence of Jesus in your life sustain you? Is that your faith in this Jesus who will complete your faith? He will empower you. Amen? Perhaps you ask, how can we grow this kind of faith that overcome all affliction? Number one, our faith is not a religion, but a relationship. This is very important. Religion is a self-help, humanistic effort. How many of you know this statement, God help those who help themselves, is not in the Bible. How many of you know that? This is not a John 3:16. This is a spiritual jargon. If you help yourself, God will help you. You know, God follow you. If you don't help yourself, God cannot help you. No, that's not in the Bible. The Bible says, with God, everything is possible. Right? So I think it's very important if we want to have that faith overcome all affliction, first of all, we need to have a relationship with God. It's not just religion, do and don'ts. That's very important. Dear brother and sister, relationship of all kinds, right? Have distant relationship, aloof relationship. But we need to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Start as a slave, as a servant, become friend, right? Jesus told the disciple, I no more call you servant, I call you friends. I share with you what in my heart. And then become lover, right? Intimate. Bride and groom. That kind of relationship. When we start having an intimate relationship with Jesus, we start to hear from him, right? You face all kinds of challenges, you're asking, what's about this? He will speak to you. You start hear from him. You get encouragement from him, and you hear the guidance from him, and he will guide you to overcome. Practical way to cultivate this kind of faith, secondly, is our focus. I believe seeing is becoming. You continue to look at the things, you become like the things. Right? If you continue to look at the difficulty, the circumstance, and people, and yourself, the lack of resources, you become whatever you see. So we need to switch our focus to look at Jesus. But many people say, look at Jesus, it seems like very vague. No. There's a practical way. Can you help me? What is the practical way to look at Jesus? Yes. I think that one practical way, you go back to study Jesus in the four Gospels about his life, right? How he lived out his life. This morning when Rogelio shared about fishing, I cannot help to think about Jesus called those disciples. They were fishermen. Very interesting, right? They were fishermen. And then they later on, he wanted them to catch men. They wanted to be fisher of men. And that's what you guys did. You went there, hang out with people, right? You try to share the friendship with them. Try to share the good news, kingdom of God, to practice spiritual conversation with the people. Amen? So I think it's important is our focus. Our focus need to be on Jesus. His teaching, his life, his wisdom, his passion, his compassion. Thirdly, is read the Word of God aloud and proclaim it to yourself. I feel that's so important. You need to read the God's words, not just silently. You have personal time. You read aloud to yourself. Let's try one. Psalm 91, 14 to 16. I want all of you read aloud. You can hear yourself. This is God says to us, okay? Let's read aloud. Because rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledged my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That hymn is you. You call upon God, God will rescue you because you believe him, believe in him, right? Can you go back to verse 14 again? Because you love God, says the Lord, I will rescue you. I will protect you, for you acknowledge my name. I will call upon, when you call upon me, and I will answer you. I'll be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever the situation. Dear brother and sister, the faith comes from you know the promise, right? You read the promise. One time, two times, three times, you continue to read. The Lord will rescue you. You start to pray and you declare you hear. Your faith starts to increase. Amen? And finally, pray in the Spirit. This is an even better part. Ephesians chapter 6, 8a. He says, and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean, we pray in the Holy Spirit? And the Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Can we read that part? What does that mean? You pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's read together. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. In our what? Weakness. When we are weak, we face affliction. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for you. Isn't that wonderful? With groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Holy Spirit, help us to pray in our weakness as we compress in all sides, as we've been struck down, as we in perplexed. He comes to pray for you. That's why we talk about spiritual gift. People pray in tongues. They don't know in their mind, but in spirit, it refreshes them. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes we face the difficult situation, we don't know how to pray. We don't know, right? We just cry out. The Spirit starts to take over. He prays inside you. He prays through you. Isn't that wonderful? As I prepare this sermon this morning, as I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it's just very enlightening to me. And can you put there? 10, 11, both. How about let's read this together? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. Just stop here. Verse 10. You know, Apostle Paul had a very challenging life. And he used the words very strong. He said, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Death of Jesus referred to his suffering, his sacrifice. But he said, because Apostle Paul carried around in our body the death of Jesus, the life of Jesus may be also be revealed in our body. So Christ's life can be revealed. I want to share with you in the following time, in the context of the Holy Communion. I want to ask you honestly, does anybody here like suffering and sacrifice? We don't, right? I don't think Apostle Paul enjoyed that particularly. But it seems like something that's come along with Christ's glory. Is that right? No suffering, no glory. No crucifixion, no resurrection. I just want to encourage you today. If our purpose of life, the ultimate purpose of life, is we become more Christ-like daily, nothing can hurt us. All things will work together for good. You understand that? However, because our attitude is right, the death of Christ manifests in our life, the suffering in our life, but you will cultivate the life of Christ in us, manifest to the people. We're going to have the Holy Communion right now. I don't know what kind of affliction you're facing recently, or your challenge you face. But I like this morning you come to this table, you give a thankful heart to the Lord. Say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the affliction. I thank you for the difficulty. I want you to go with me. I want the death of Christ in me will bring out the life of Christ to others. Amen? A lot of suffering, a lot of affliction, we have no choice. Life is very complex, right? Some people have long-term disease. I want to just ask you guys one kind of suffering. How many of you in the last 1 month or 3 months or 6 months cannot sleep too well at night? Raise your hands. Yeah. Same here. It's easy for someone to say, hey, just have faith, you know. Surrender to the Lord, you know, I let him pray for you. Recently, I don't know if it's the aging, the too many challenge or pressure, you know. In the morning, once I wake up, I cannot sleep. And once you cannot sleep, you start thinking about all the things you're going to do. Continue to think about that, right? And the detail and the small and the... It's not a good feeling, not easy. We can bring that to the Lord in this Holy Communion. Amen? I want today this Holy Communion table will be a beginning of the healing, a journey. We become Christ-like. Amen? In the midst of suffering, affliction, not being defeated, but overcome. Let's surrender to the Lord. Can someone invite the children to come? Yeah.
I'd like to invite all of you who have received Jesus as Savior of the Lord. And baptized into the body of Jesus Christ to come forward, take the bread.
have some time of prayer before the Lord, and that we maybe you give you the biggest challenge to the Lord today. Thank Him for this salvation. I think it is for redemption, including whatever the challenge you face. Release to Him and ask Him for grant you comfort and peace. The death of Christ. And we ask for the life of Jesus may also reveal in our body. Amen? Amen? Yeah. How about have some time in prayer before the Lord? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this bread and cup. Refer to your sacrifice for each one of us. We thank you for your death for us so we can live. We also thank you for the death of Jesus in us, in our life, in our daily life, in our last 3 months, 6 months. There are many things we cannot figure out, we don't understand. But this morning, as we are going to take your bread and cup, once again, remind us what you have done for us. Remind us our identity as your children. Amen. We are children of God. Amen. You care for us. So, Lord, we give our suffering to you. We give our affliction to you. We give our burden, challenge to you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. May you give us your life, peace, transcend all understanding. This bread refers to Jesus' body being broken, sacrificed for each one of us. Let's take this bread with a thankful heart. This cup refers to the blood of Jesus Christ. May we take this cup with a thankful heart. Lord Jesus, continue to be with us. Speak to us about you are the treasure in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Conclude our worship here, and God bless you.